Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.
In the Valley of the Sun this Saturday night, and I do mean night here in the Central Time Zone, Mississippi State and Arizona State on the call for ESPN, Mark Jones and Roddy Jones. Roddy joins me now, former Georgia Tech running back. I guess you played here in Starkville 2009, is that right?
I did, yeah. I was on that 09 team. You guys came out a little different defense than we expected. It was a little bit of a slog for a while. We had a good team that year, though. It was a great trip.
So when you work with Mark, how many thesauruses do you have to go through to keep up with him? Because that guy will break out what I call a mayonnaise word pretty quick on you, man. He likes the big words.
He does. He threw out prestidigitation last week. And I am not going to lie. Like, I have no – my pride is not too big to admit. Without the context clues of how he used it, I had no idea what prestidigitation meant. So I try it. He keeps me on my toes with that. You know, we've got something planned for the rest of the year where when he throws out one of those words, we're going to have some fun with it. It's a super interesting story, and it kind of goes back to his youth. He told me a story a few years ago. I believe it goes his grandfather or his grandparents wouldn't let him either go out and play or there was some reward that he got after he learned a new word in the dictionary. And so, over the course of years, you know, he went through the whole dictionary, basically. Yeah. So he's got a recall unlike anybody that I've ever worked with. And, yeah, the words are lofty, but they're so well-placed. And, yeah. And when you look up and learn the definition, you're like, wow, that fit perfectly. And that was a better descriptor than I ever could have had. So I certainly learn a lot.
That's really cool. So this question might not work in the transfer portal era. You know, when you played at Georgia Tech, right, there was always somebody on the team, or maybe it was you, that when you traveled to Clemson or to Virginia or to North Carolina, like, you know how that trip's going to go, right? Because you've been there before. Does a new environment like this, Mississippi State's never played at Arizona State. Nobody on this team has ever played in this stadium, played in front of these fans. Does that really mean anything anymore when we're talking about a team full of guys who haven't played at Mississippi State very much at all?
I think it means something just because, I mean, you look at the Mississippi State roster and most of these guys are from east of the Mississippi, as you would expect. And so when we went out, we went and played, furthest west we ever went was the Sun Bowl in El Paso. And the terrain is just so much different, to be honest with you, that you are, you know, you're a little more perked up on the bus into the hotel. You're a little more perked up on the drive into the stadium. The vibe is different, and there are going to be elements that are certainly different. I haven't looked at the weather for Saturday, but I've been checking the weather every day, and it's over 100 degrees there every single day. Yeah. So, like, if it's a late game local time, it's a 7:30 local kick, as you said, like 9:30 Central time, 10:30. I'm from Atlanta. I live in Atlanta. 10:30 my time. So that will certainly be different for guys. I think that's probably the bigger deal. How do you adjust the schedule for that? And if guys like to go on a walk outside, like I, for late games, would go on just a little walk around the hotel. We weren't allowed to go anywhere, but just a little walk around the parking lot in the hotel. It's going to be like smoking hot when guys do that. So that's the difference. I don't really, you know, once you get to the stadium, it's not all that different, but I do think the terrain is different and it's a really cool experience. Like some of my most memorable trips on the bus into the hotel were seeing the cornfields roll by when we went to Notre Dame, where we're seeing the terrain, the mountains and the desert when we were in El Paso. Honestly, going to Starkville, you know, seeing it was a long drive in. I can't remember where we stayed, but it was a long drive in, just sort of seeing the terrain of Mississippi before we got to state. So it was those things are really cool and they are memorable.
When you look at Mississippi State on film from that first game, I was impressed with the speed, the tempo. I knew it was going to happen, but until you see it and you experience it and you're trying to watch the game and you can't even turn your head because the ball's getting snapped, it's difficult to wrap your mind around. What was your initial thoughts of what you saw from Mississippi State last week?
I think you saw a lot of what you wanted to see offensively. First off, the tempo was there. And from what I remember, there weren't too many issues pre-snap, if there were any. Going back and watching the film. The second thing was Blake Shapen. I was really impressed with Blake Shapen, and it's easy to forget sort of what he was at his best at Baylor. But his best at Baylor was pretty darn good, like kept them in games. Certainly they weren't super talented around him, particularly last year, But I, his accuracy, his ability to drive the ball down the field, I thought was really impressive. He seemed comfortable in the offense. He moved a little better than I remembered. I would like to see him slide. Like, I don't want him taking all those hits. But I think what you wanted to see was the operation of the offense, the ability for the quarterback to deliver. You mentioned the speed on the outside. I do a lot in ACC territory with ACC Network and ACC Radio, so I paid a lot of attention to Kevin Coleman last year at Louisville. Like, he's a real player for this Mississippi State team. I was really impressed with the speed of Mario Craver, especially as a true freshman. I would imagine Jeff Lebby, I don't know how much, like, if he'll play every snap, I don't know if there'll be packages, but I would imagine Jeff Lebby is designing up ways to get him the ball. Jordan Mosley was fantastic. So I think the receiving core really stood out, along with Blake Shapen's ability to deliver the football. And with those two things together, certainly in the SEC, it gets more difficult. It's not going to look like Eastern Kentucky, but, like, those are guys that have real speed and real talent. And so I think it plays some in the SEC as well, and they'll be able to move the ball and put up some points.
You mentioned Shapen and some receivers there. One thing I was surprised by on Saturday was State didn't have more explosive plays in the run game. You know, yeah. With this offense, I think it gets a misnomer sometimes that it's a wide-open passing game. It is really at its heart a running offense. That's what he was able to do at Ole Miss and at Oklahoma. Were you surprised that they weren't more explosive in the run game than they were against an FCS opponent?
A little bit. I think most of the big runs were from Shapen, right? Like, it was sort of the quarterback scrambles that got them for the most part.
He had the end around to Whittemore, which was
there was the big one there too.
There.
Right. So I was a little surprised there. I chalk some of that up to first game stuff. I don't know. You know, when you score that quickly early on, you can tend to go very simple with things, and in the pass game that can show up as being super explosive. It can, you know, your athletes can just athlete. And Eastern Kentucky helped with that some. But I think in the run game, sometimes when you're that simple, it doesn't challenge a defense quite as much. So maybe that was part of it. I was surprised there, though, and I think they will have to do a better job of that, especially against Arizona State, because if you get into a situation where you're not having that early success on early downs, I think Arizona State's got some pass rushers up front that can cause some issues for this Mississippi State offensive line. So they're going to need that to be better. And look, the positive, as you mentioned, like, this is what Jeff Lebby has done. He's one of the best in terms of finding ways to create runs to crease and opportunities to crease defenses. Lane Kiffin is like the godfather of that. 3rd and 7, let's run the ball. You know, 3rd and 7, you know, on the plus 49, we're going to run the ball, and it's either going to set up a 4th and short, or a lot of times with he and when Jeff Lebby was there, you'd end up with a 20-yard gain. And it's, you know, you're looking up, and why are we running on 3rd and 7? Well, because the defense is set up for a pass. Everyone thinks it's going to be a pass. You hit one crease, get a block on a linebacker, and you're up on a safety really quickly. So I do think that will improve naturally, even as the competition ratchets up. I do have some questions about, you know, how explosive are the guys they do have at running back. I have questions about that too. There's just not a lot of data there. There's not a lot to hang your hat on. But I do think the Jeff Lebby is one of the best at it, so I would expect it to get better.
I'm not sure which stat from Arizona State was more impressive, the nearly 500 yards of total offense or the less than 120 yards that they gave up on defense. Just a dominant performance by the Sun Devils out there. You know, which side of the ball, when you look at them on tape, which one were you more impressed with?
I was probably more impressed with the defense, because the defense is really what caused that game to get away. And I you know, we don't want to overreact to week one. Arizona State looked really good. It's a team that's got aspirations of making a bowl game, and I think they've got the talent to be able to do it. That game got away from Wyoming really early, and I think there was a little bit of shell shock on Wyoming's part. They've got a new head coach. They threw a pick six on, like, the second play of the game, and then they threw another interception on, like, two drives later. You know, Arizona State goes down and scores. That game was 21-0 before you could blink. Like, before Wyoming even had a chance to take two sips of Gatorade, it was 21-0. And so I do think that the dominance was sort of a lot of the dominance was because of the way the tone was set early. That being said, I was really impressed by the defense. They've got some really long, athletic guys on the back end. Shamari Simmons, their nickel, was their MVP on defense a year ago. 6 foot, 195 pound nickel, but he plays longer. Like he plays like a 6'2", 6'3" guy. He just covers a ton of ground and is able to and is a really good tackler as well. He's our leading tackler a year ago. And I mentioned a couple of pass rushers. I thought Clayton Smith, number 10, and Elijah O'Neal, number 15, did a really good job getting after the quarterback against a Wyoming team that's probably not built to drop back as much as they did. The offense was impressive. I thought Sam Levitt was pretty good for him. Started a few games at Michigan State last year, played a little bit, but you know, being the starter coming in, he looked comfortable in that offense run by Marcus Arroyo. But I was more impressed by the defense.
If I did the math right, Arizona State with 499 yards of total offense, so right at the 500 mark, but really balanced, 258 passing, 241 on the ground. If you're Mississippi State, which side, what you're more concerned with, the running game or the passing game for the Sun Devils?
I don't think you can let them have it both ways. So I would be more concerned with the run game. A lot of that is this is an offense that wants to get the ball to their playmakers in space. Cam Scatabo, Scatabu, number four, and Jordan Tyson, number zero, were really the two guys that they tried to force feed last week. And I would anticipate that going forward, they will continue to do that. They've got some other players, and they use a ton of personnel groupings. They use a ton of personnel groupings, and those personnel groupings don't always match the picture that you get. So, for instance, there's a play down near the goal line last week. They're inside the 5 yard line and they're in 23 personnel, two backs, three tight ends. Well, both of the backs are lined up next to each other, one at quarterback, one at running back. There's two tight ends. One is in line on the right side of the line of scrimmage, the other one's a wing on the right side of the line of scrimmage. And then you've got a receiver, which is actually a tight end. One of the tight ends is split wide to the left off the ball, and the quarterback split wide to the right on the ball. So that picture doesn't look like 23 personnel. One of the tight ends is split, quarterback's out, two running backs in the backfield. It just makes you think a lot because you get the card that says 23. You're like, okay, we're going big boy personnel. Let me gear up. Then they're in shotgun with a sidecar running back. You got a tight end out there or a quarterback out there, and you're trying to figure out what the heck's going on. Next thing you know, it's a direct snap, ISO, and the running back's leading through the hole for his for the other back, and they score a touchdown. They do stuff like that a lot. It's usually not that extreme, but they'll go with some two tight end sets with that look like 10 personnel where everyone's split out. They motion those tight ends to try and run the ball a lot, to use them in the run game. So you cannot let them be able to do that and then run the ball, because if they do that, that's when they really start to get rolling. They can go play action, hit you downfield. It's a lot of pro style concepts in the pass game. Marcus Arroyo's got a long history in the NFL, former head coach of UNLV, but has a ton of connections to the NFL. So you see a lot of that show up in the pass game. But if you're going to ask me, like, what would I rather? I would rather, if you're Mississippi State, that you put it on the redshirt freshman Sam Levin, say, all right, go beat us. You know, we'll test some of these young corners with your receivers and see if we can hold up.
It's college football. You only get 12 games a year. These are two teams that were picked towards the bottom of their respective conferences. They both would like to go to a bowl game in year one. So this is a hugely important game for both teams. Can you say it's significantly more important to either team? Is it more important to State, more important to Arizona State, or is it just, hey, this is a must win for both of these teams?
I think it's a must-win for both. However, I think that because of the schedule for Mississippi State, being in the SEC and having that sort of clear division of look, this would be a massive upset with some of these teams. I think it's more important for Mississippi State because if you're going to get to a bowl game, you got to be 4-0 in the non-con. You got to have Eastern Kentucky, Arizona State, Toledo, and Massachusetts in your pocket, and then that gives you a little bit of wiggle room. You got Florida, you got Arkansas, and you can, if you win both of those games, now you're in a bowl game. If you were to fall to Arizona State, then you look at Florida and Arkansas, you can win both of those, and you're having to beat Texas A&M at home, or you're having to go on the road and beat Tennessee, or you're having to beat Missouri at home, or you're having to go on the road and beat Ole Miss in the Egg Bowl, which all of those, like, it's college football, can happen. But it's not something that you can hang your hat on going into the league, especially because, you know, I count one, two, three top 10 teams on the schedule right now. Tennessee ranked, Texas A&M. Are they still ranked? They might still be
They are.
ranked after
I think
last
they're
week.
ranked,
They're
yeah.
still ranked. Missouri, by the way, haven't even mentioned them. A team that was in the Cotton Bowl last year. So So I think it's more important to Mississippi State. When you look at Arizona State's schedule, yes, it's important to them. They get Texas State in the non-con, but there is it's not as the top is not as strong in the Big 12 as it is in the SEC. So like an at Texas Tech, especially after their performance against Abilene Christian, that looks like a winnable game. Kansas is good, Utah's good, but at Cincinnati, winnable. UCF, we'll see what they bring. I think they'll be better, but winnable. BYU at home, winnable. So I think there's more winnable games, clearly winnable games for Arizona State after this than there are Mississippi State. So I think it's more important for the Bulldogs.
We shall see. I'm an old man, Roddy. I hope I can stay up for this one. I'm gonna do my best to watch the whole game. I don't know if I can make it, and if not, I'll just have to watch the replay, I guess. Roddy Jones, ESPN. Enjoy your time in Tempe with the Bulldogs this weekend, man. I appreciate your time.
I appreciate it. It's my first trip to Arizona State. I'm looking forward to it. I am with you. I got three little kids. We go to bed at like 9:30 Eastern time here. So it is going to be a struggle for your boy to try and figure out what my schedule is game day to make sure I'm good to go at 10:30 Eastern.
Good luck, man. Thanks a lot.
Yeah, I appreciate it.
A Super Talk Mississippi Media Production.